It's always a pleasure and an honor to be back with you, our family of Jesus here at Peace. And before we go into the Easter message this morning, I want to say, I know a number of you have been praying for us. Others of you, it might be news that our son Austin has been in the hospital for 5 days, over about a week ago. And your prayers have just been awesome. Some of you even sent groceries to our front door and grocery cards to take care of us during this time. Y'all are awesome. When it comes to expectations, I know the Jesus living in you that I can expect you guys to love us every time we're around you. So thank you. Austin is doing well. He was actually here earlier this morning, and he has another surgery to undergo at some point. But we'll keep you posted, and we just thank you for your prayers. That first Easter, as Mary told the children, these women went, and they went to do something that customarily you would have done a day before, except that the day before had been the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath you were not allowed to do any work, including even the work of embalming and putting the spices on the body of a dead friend. And so they waited for a day, and on Easter morning, they were not going expecting Easter lilies and Easter eggs and Easter bunnies or family meals or anything like that. They were going in tears, in grief, with the expectation of death, a death which many of these women had seen with their own eyes. They were there at the foot of the cross on Friday. They knew what had happened. And so when two men suddenly show up as white as lightning and they ask the question, why do you look for the living among the dead? The duh answer is, we're not looking for the living. We're looking for the dead. We don't expect life here where you bury bodies. And it got me to thinking on my 47th Easter, what do I expect on Easter Sunday morning? What do you expect when you come to Easter worship on Easter Sunday morning with however many Easters you've celebrated before, whether it's your first or one of many? What do you really expect this morning? Did you expect to get a good cup of coffee? Did you expect to hear a good sermon? We'll see. Do you expect to hear good music and worship with all of your heart the God of heaven? What did you come here expecting? Did you expect anything to happen to your heart this morning or your mind this morning? Did you expect anything to change about the difficult or the painful or the dead areas of your life? The areas that it's hard to talk about. The areas that we like to cover up with just a little more work or maybe something to salve the pain. Did you expect to have that changed this morning on Easter Sunday morning? My wife Jamie and I were out to dinner with some people who have become friends of ours. He used to be a pastor of a Bible church, and he's no longer doing that. He's now a businessman. And we were checking in with him just to see, hey, what's going on? How's it going? Have you found a church home? It's kind of weird as a pastor to go looking for a church home after you've just moved and taken a call somewhere. And he said, yeah, we found a place. The kids, they're really enjoying it, and there seems to be good stuff for them. We said, how about you? And he said this curious thing. He said, well, church is pretty good if you don't need too much. If you don't need too much. What do we expect when we show up on Easter Sunday morning? Do we expect that God might have something to do with our dead-end job or our dead-end marriage or the dreams that we've long buried because they were dead so long ago? Or maybe just the endless monotony of the work we do and we're wondering where we're going and we can't see the way? Or maybe as a believer in Jesus, you're believing that, hey, when I die, everything will be good, but until then, it sure seems like it's pretty much up to me. Or if you're at Peace Lutheran Church, you might be thinking, here we go again, looking for another senior pastor. Seems like that wasn't that long ago. I've told Pastor Morgan and some of the other leaders here, I continue to pray for you as you go through another time of searching for the ones that will help lead you in God's word and in his promises. It can be easy to come into a morning like this and not bring those big, heavy parts of our lives because we think that's really not going to get answered here. And that's what the women were thinking when they went to the tomb. They weren't expecting anything but death, but they were surprised when they got to the tomb. The other gospel writers let us know that Mary Magdalene not only saw these angels, but she also saw Jesus himself alive. And so they went back to tell the disciples, the apostles, the ones that Jesus chose, these will be the men I will send out into the world with the message of hope for the whole world. And so the women come back and they share with the disciples something that Jesus had told them on more than one occasion would happen, that he would die and he would rise again. And this is what Luke records, but they did not believe the women. Women, you're used to this with us men sometimes, aren't you? They didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. This word is only used once in the entire New Testament. It simply means silly words. Their words were silly to them. They didn't even make sense. Jesus can't be alive. We saw him. He's dead. And yet, over the coming days, not only would the women, but then the men would have an encounter with the living Jesus, and suddenly, everything's flipped on its head. Suddenly, life is full of possibility where the day before it seemed to be over. The one that they had put their faith in, the Messiah who was dead, is now alive. This changes things. And it doesn't just change things after we die. It changes things today. In fact, it invites us to a life of nonsense in the face of death. This is what God has been up to from the very beginning. You can think about Abraham. Abraham had everything you could imagine. He lived in one of the richest areas of the world at the time. It was so fertile, and God comes to him and says, hey, pick up everything and all the people in your family and move to a place I will show you, that he doesn't tell him anything else about. And it changes the course of Abraham's life and Sarah's life, and God blesses them richly when they act on nonsense. You can think of Mary and Joseph, angels coming to them to tell them that Mary would give birth to a son, though she had not been with a man, and that this son would be the very Son of God and would save the world from its sin. And she says, let it be to me as you have said. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. These are silly words that God actually means. And when he does, he changes dead things to alive things. I was thinking about this in our own life, the Wishman family's life, of where we were 5, 6 years ago, and where I was thinking, I was kind of at a dead end. I couldn't imagine myself still pastoring in a place where I was at, and how it would work. Like, how do I follow Jesus while doing this? And as we prayed, Jesus invited us to wait. He said, I want you to stop what you're doing, and I want you to wait and trust that what is next I will give to you, and it will be a blessing. And so we stopped doing what we were doing, and we sold our house, and we did the very un-American thing. We didn't take the sale of that house and invest it into the next house. We waited. And I was willing and thinking, 3, 4 months, that'd be about good. God could accomplish a lot in 3 or 4 months. Try 3 times that. 15 months later, when every dollar was gone, God answered and he showed us what was next. For a long time, I couldn't explain to people what we were doing because I thought it was stupid. But the only thing I knew to do was to trust Jesus. And what I've discovered on the other side of it is this, is that taking that investment and putting it in brick and mortar is normally what someone might do, but instead God invited us to invest that $60,000 in the 6 of us And we've seen God show up in miraculous ways that we never would have seen otherwise. And he opened the door to starting Breathe Life Ministries. And he continues to open door after door for us. And so I ask you today, where are you expecting only death in your life? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job that seems like it's going nowhere. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's something that you've done in your past and you carry the weight of and you feel like you could never be forgiven or you could never make it right. Jesus on Easter stands before you and says, "What is impossible with man is totally possible with me. I died on a cross and yet I live, and that power now lives inside of you by the Spirit that I have breathed onto you and poured over you. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." And so on this Easter, know that whatever dead part of your life, whatever thing seems like it's impossible, God stands in the middle of it. Jesus stands resurrected, and he says, "Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Don't be afraid to share it with me, to ask where I am in this, to ask me what I think about it, and I will walk with you through the very valley of the shadow of death." I know it's an unbelievable thing to think. And it may not and probably won't turn out the way you thought, but I will guarantee you this, that your Savior will be faithful. And he will walk you all the way to his kingdom because his promise is true, that even though you die, yet shall you live. And until that day, he invites us to live lives of nonsense faith in the face of death, to make leaps of faith where only God can get us to the other side. I pray that in your life, together as a congregation, as you enter another season of change, and also in your individual lives, whatever is transpiring in them, may you see Jesus alive, flipping death on its head. Amen. Jesus, we pray now that you would pour out your Spirit on each individual here, that your resurrected life would show up in the middle of the dead parts of their life and world, and that you would look at them and let them know that you are in control and bringing them to your kingdom that will last forever. We celebrate you and your victory over death for us. Amen.